Jazakallah, Mufti Yaqub Sahib, Jazakallah khairan, ahsan al-jazah, Allah reward you for your input and valuable masterpiece of advice and seerah and history and biography of Sahaba Ikram. And that's why Markaz Sahaba, Allah Ta'ala has accepted it, because from the inception, we're trying our best, inshallah, to promote the seerah of the Sahaba Ikram and so that we can inculcate it. Hazrat Mufti Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. Once again, Mufti Sahib, we're ready for the second session, Mufti Sahib.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Ready like ever, ready battery, inshallah.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. I want to know, it seems to be a non-Muslim brother asking this question. I want to know what happens in the grave after a person is buried. We dress up our deceased in suit and tie, but for some reason, I feel it's a total waste of good money.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You're 100% right, my brother. When I was a young boy, right? So I grew up in Heidelberg in the African township, and we were surrounded by non-Muslims also. My one neighbor was Munsami, my other neighbor was Ramsami, the other one was Govansami. So a lot of Samis there also, and so forth and so on. So this one old man died. I never ever saw him. We were 5, 6, 7 years old maximum. I never ever saw him wearing a suit and tie. But you know, because we were young, so we wanted to go and see what's happening. It's not permissible, all this. But anyway, so we went to go see. So we saw he had a suit and he had a tie. Plus his walking stick also they put there inside. So I was wondering for what they did all this now. So 100% remember, it is waste of good money. Now, my brother, a very pertinent question you asked. You know there is one, a person, you know him by his title. You know him by the name of Pharaoh. So Pharaoh is not the actual name. The name was something else. So this is a title, like how we say prime minister, president, like that. So in those days, the leader of Egypt, remember, was called the Pharaoh, Fir'aun. So when that Pharaoh of Moses, Nabi Musa alayhi salatu salam's time, so he drowned and what have you. So what does Almighty Allah tell us about him? Go to the Noble Quran, chapter 40, and verse number 46. Chapter 40, verse 46. Almighty Allah states, "An-naru yu'raduna 'alayha ghuduwa wa 'ashiya." The Pharaoh and his cronies and comrades, they presented to the fire day and night all the time. That is now. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةِ. And when the day of justice is established, أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. So then they will be announced to them that enter into the worst, worst punishment, and that is everlasting Jahannam and the hellfire, the furnace, the inferno. So my brother, we as Muslims believe, if you want salvation and everlasting plus prosperity, a person has to enter into the fold of Islam, sincerely love Islam, and then that person passes away and dies with Iman and Islam, then there'll be everlasting plus prosperity, happiness. If that person, he did whatever good deeds he could, but there's no Iman, no Islam, then you take your calculator, you strike 000, but there's no digit before that, so all those zeros means nothing eventually. So this Iman, Islam of ours, is the digit before all the zeros, and that is the passport to everlasting pleasure, my brother. And therefore in Islam, when a person passes away, we bathe that person. The male will bathe the male, and female for female, and then for the male we will use 3 pieces of calico material, and for the women, our mothers, daughters, sisters, we will use 5 pieces, and that every Muslim can afford in all parts of the world. Then we have the funeral prayer and then the burial. So simplicity is the hallmark of Islam. Now imagine you have to go into debt before your death. Why? Because you need a coffin, you need a suit, then you have to go to the graveyard in a limousine. So what all that is going to help the deceased? Absolutely zero. So that is why Islam rejects all these type of things.
Mufti Sahib, if while making Taraweeh and I feel extremely tired, can I just read my three Witr Salah and go to sleep? Even if I just read six rakats of Taraweeh, as my concentration is totally gone.
I'm asking you three questions. When you are watching your soccer match, cricket match, and you say you are tired, do you ever just switch off the television and say, no, now leave it now, and it's your favorite team? You're watching a movie and so forth. Do you say that? So what you should do, my brother, you must ask Allah for protection. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min iblis wa junudi. O Almighty Allah, Jalla wala, I seek your protection from iblis, from Lucifer, the big shaitan, the big harami, and all his agents and cronies and comrades and so forth and so on. And let's say you're extremely, extremely tired. Still is not justified. You are not ill. You are not a traveler, you just say you are exhausted, tired. So fine, after your Isha Salat, you read your Witr, or you read 2, 4, 6 rakats. So go and sleep for 1, 2 hours. After Isha, then your Taraweeh. When does Taraweeh time end? It ends when Suhoor time, Sehri time ends. So you got 6, 8, 9 hours depending on the season. So you don't have to go and sleep the whole night. So when you woke up, remember that, then you're not Hafiz or whatever. So you just read from Alam Tara downwards. How long will it take you? 10, 15, 20 minutes. And in that way, you perform your Taraweeh. So what you are saying, my brother, is not a valid excuse. And it is sinful. And you have to make sincere tawbah. And imagine if it happened last night. 27 night, Laylatul Qadr. Such a person is mahroom, mahroom. Deprived, deprived. The greatest night in the Islamic calendar is Laylatul Qadr. The greatest day of the Islamic calendar is Yawm Arafah. And indeed, that Allah Ta'ala gives tawfiq to whoever He wants the divine guidance. May Almighty Allah make us from the maqbooleen, the accepted ones, and not the mahroomeen, those who are deprived. Allah protect us.
Sir, my name is Jackie. Muslims at my job don't eat all day till mid-April, and my boss gives them 1 hour earlier to go home till mid-April. Is this fair? My boss is an Indian. We should all be treated equally.
So, my brother, I'm asking you 2, 3 questions. When it is Easter time and you follow Christianity, so now you tell us that, no, we must not come to work because it's your Easter. When it is Christmas, so then you tell us we must not come to work because it's your Christmas. When it is New Year, so you tell us, no, we must not come to work because why? So it is New Year. We don't accept any of these things. Your Christmas is cooked up. Jesus, peace be upon him, was not born during December in Bethlehem. He was born, remember, during the summer months. Your own Bible says that. Go look into Luke, L-U-K-E, and go see chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. Your Easter, you cooked it up also. You said that Jesus was crucified and then he was buried and he's supposed to be in the, what your Bible says, Matthew chapter 14 verse 20, that Jesus will be like Jonah. Jesus will be like Yunus alayhi salam. So how will he be like Jonah? Jonah stayed in the belly of the fish for 3 days, 3 nights. So he, Jesus, will stay in the belly of the earth for 3 days, 3 nights. You count it and tell me. Friday you say, we reject all this with the contempt it deserves, that he was crucified, that Friday night he was buried in the holy sepulchre. Imagine one side you say he's God, son of God, but he's buried, he dies, he's born. How's that working? And then Friday night is buried, and then you got Saturday, and then you got Saturday night. Sunday morning when Mary Magdalene wanted to anoint him, the tomb, the grave was empty. So how many nights you got? Only 2. Friday night, Saturday night. How many days you got? Only 1. So remember, 2 nights, 1 day. But the Bible said 3 days, 3 nights, just like Jonah. So who's lying? Is the Bible lying? Is the Pope lying? Is the priest lying? Or is the whole Christianity one big lie? New Year. Again you're taking people for a ride. So now you tell me September. You say it's the ninth month. But when I looked and studied philology, I found out September refers to the seventh month, Sept. In Latin means seven. October, Oct means eight. Nov means nine. December, Des means ten. So your new year is 1st of March. Who's fooling who, Jackie, in this world? Remember that. You imposed upon us. I must not come to work during your December Christmas time, Boxing Day, your New Year's Day, and your Easter time, and so forth. So therefore, don't complain, my brother. What the Indian brother is doing, Muslim brother is doing, 100%. So if the Muslims are doing their work, so what is paining you for? So don't be jealous, my brother. Why you don't join us? You become Muslim and you start fasting, and then you also will get discount in Ramadan every day. Easy way out, instead of fooling yourself regarding Christmas, regarding New Year, regarding Easter. I give you reference for each one. Go study it and see if you can come up with a satisfactory answer.
Can Ishram be read at home for men? Or if one intends to read it, do they have to stay after Fajr in the masjid?
No, I read it at home. So now I went for Fajr Salat. I think they made lot of ibadat the last night, the whole night. So Imam Sahib read first rakat after Fatiha, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ. Second rakat after Surah Fatiha, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. So I came back early. So mashallah. And then, you know, because we feel sleepy, I want to wash my face and so forth. And then I came to the studio. So when everything is done, then we read Ishraqi at home, mashallah. So there's no problem in that. The main thing is this, we must stay away from ma'asi, from vices and sins. And you read Fajr Salat on time, the men in the masjid, the women at home, and then you engage yourself in wonderful ibadat, acts of worship. 15 minutes, 20 minutes after sunrise, you read Ishraq, hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, for you, hajjatun wa umratun tammah, tammah, tammah. You will receive the optimum, maximum reward for hajj and for umrah. Imagine 2.5, 3 million people there in Makkah, another 1 million people there in Medina Munawwara. So much they have to spend, and so the hotels are charging, you know, way beyond what people can afford and so forth. So every day we can perform Hajj, every day we can perform Umrah in the comfort of our homes, totally permissible, no problem.
Mufti Saab, my boss company was about to close down in January, gave us all 3 months notice. He then put me in charge of the company. I turned things around and exceeded 12 times our target. He gave all staff an increase besides me. When I asked, he said it was part of my job to bring the company up. Should I resign, taking all my passwords with me?
Remember that we don't know exactly what the contract was. If it was not stipulated in your contract, then you cannot demand that. But ethically, if you say and what you are saying is the truth, the company was going down, and they even gave you a notice that 3 months' time we're closing shop, factory, whatever the case is, and he made you in charge, and you brought it up 10 times more, 12 times more, maybe we're exaggerating also, but be that as it may, so he should have given you a bumper bonus, remember that. So my advice to you, if you are a Muslim, make istikhara, read now with me, Allahumma khir li wakhtar li. Allahumma, O beloved Allah, khir li, you select the best for me, wakhtar li, and you choose for me. And the hadith in Tirmidhi. And then, if it comes in your heart, you must leave your reef. But don't make big stories, just say, Jazakallah khair, thank you very much, and I'm terminating my services end of April, May, June, whatever you want to, and whether you agreed upon, and then you can take all the passwords and everything. If he asks you, where's the passwords, tell him it's not part of my contract to tell you that. So you can be also telling him all these kind of things here. So if he tells you are back, then you must dictate the wage and so forth. So you can do many things. But my first mashura to you will be, don't take a hasty decision without discussing it properly with your family and your well-wishers.
Mufti Saab, is it a sunnah or a bid'ah on the day of Eid to shake hands and embrace each other saying Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum?
How you can say it's bid'ah when there's hadith for that? I gave you the reference before I went for salat. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, remember, Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum, the hadith in Bayhaqi. Sahaba radiallahu an on Eid day when they saw one another, they greeted one another, Assalamu alaykum. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum, go open Fathul Bari. The greatest commentary of Bukhari Sharif, Bahafi Ibn Hajar Asqalani rahimahullah. So who, only a crackpot will tell you to say Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum is bid'ah. I go to Ladysmith, right, on Eid day. I go to Newcastle, Ladysmith. I meet so many people after 6 months, 1 year. I meet Maulana Salim Kareem. I meet this one, I meet that one. So I will hug them, I will embrace them, I'll read Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. What is wrong with that? 100%. Yes, you and your brother, you come from the same house, and now you go to the masjid, you go to the Eidgah, and so forth and so on. So now, obviously, you meet every day. There's no need for you to go and hug and embrace one another. You just came out from the same house, and so just make dua for one another. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. I'm going to Kamatipur. So now there'll be Eidgah day, inshallah. So many people will come from neighboring areas. So I personally will go and meet them and say Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. That is our Islam, my brother. So we should not be confusing issues and blowing people's fuses.
Mufti Sahab, what is the ruling when making salah on a chair in the masjid while sitting for itikaf, where the chair must be placed in a tent and the next guy is in front of that person? Is his salah valid, especially when going into sajda? It looks like the musalli is worshipping the person in front of him.
Obviously, that worshipping story and all that, now you're going to make hulu another extreme also. So everybody's salat is valid. The best thing is the people who are sitting in etikaf, and now you are ma'azur in this sense, you can't stand, you need a chair and require a chair. So best is that, you know, in the masajid normally, you are the mu'takifin, that the person sitting for itikaf. The place where you are is the mu'takaf. And normally, that is on the flanks, on the side of the masjid. So keep your chair in your tent, remember that, in your cubicle, so you won't inconvenience anybody else. So I read salat here, you must remember, in Jami Masjid, Maghrib time, because I have a program there before Maghrib. And my one student is there, Sheikh Imran. He was a bishop, you know, and he became Muslim, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So, African brother, what a good person. So, he knows he's got his chair there. So, I tell him, Sheikh, put your chair away now. It's Salat time. And then Taraweeh time, you use your chair and so forth. It's fine. And in that way there. So, that's what you do with all the chairmans, we call them. Why chairmans? One foreigner came to South Africa, and 10 years ago, when we were with CII, mashallah, so 17 full years we were with CII, Allah accept it. So in a case like that, he said, Meto Bahir se aya, I came from foreign country, and I see so many chairs here in your masajid in South Africa. Why is that? So I said, South Africans love to be chairmans. Right on that chairman note, we will finish up now. So our chairman say time is up. So inshallah, tomorrow we'll continue. Barakallahu fiqh to you, Mawla Salim Kareem. Allah Jalla Ala accept all our good deeds. Taqabbalallahu minna wa minkum. Inshallah, we'll go for the news now with Brother Suleiman Esop. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.